message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, today is the fourth in my series of six Sunday Lenten sermons, and this series is entitled Psalms of the Savior. Today's sermon is based on Psalm 69. Now this psalm, as many of the others I've preached on, was written by King David. In fact, the only other psalms quoted in the New Testament more often than Psalm 69 are Psalms 22 and 110. So Psalm 69 is a very important psalm. In fact, King David wrote this psalm during a very, very difficult time in his life. And this time in his life was difficult for at least two reasons. The first reason is this. David was being disciplined by God for a sin in his life. For example, in Psalm 69, verse 5, David says, "You know my folly, O God. My guilt is not hidden from you." And then later on in verse 26, David says, "They persecute those you wound and talk about the pain of those you hurt." Simply put, these words of David teach us that God was disciplining David because of some sin in his life. However, David never, ever questions God's love for him. In fact, David repented of whatever sin he had done, and then he trusted that God completely forgave him because of the Savior that God had promised to send into the world for all sinners. For example, in another psalm written by King David, Psalm 51, in that psalm, David also confesses his sin and cries out to God for mercy. In Psalm 51, verse 1, David writes, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Now, you know, in our modern culture, we read verses like this and our response is usually, "Well, of course God forgives sin. That's his business, right?" Well, yes, but we need to remember that these verses ought to surprise us. It's kind of like the hymn, "Amazing Grace." But sadly, in our culture, we think that grace should just be the way it is. We take it for granted. We forget that grace and forgiveness should utterly take us by surprise. And here is why. You see, Scripture clearly teaches that God cannot and will not leave the guilty unpunished. God must punish sin. So when David asks God to cleanse him from sin, he's not simply asking God to overlook his sin. No, God can't do that. Instead, David is asking God to cleanse him from sin because of the sacrifice that God had promised to send into the world. You see, God will not leave the guilty unpunished because he put our sin on Jesus and gave him our punishment. God damned Jesus in our place. That's why we're able to be forgiven. For example, I want you to listen to what David writes a few verses later in Psalm 51. He writes, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." David asks God to cleanse him with hyssop. Now, what in the world is David talking about? Well, you see, hyssop was a leafy plant. And you might wonder, well, what does a leafy plant have to do with being forgiven? Well, throughout the Old Testament, we see that the priests in the temple would use the branch of the hyssop plant and then dip it in the blood of the animal sacrifices and sprinkle it on the altar as well as on the people as a sign that they were forgiven and cleansed from their sin because of the sacrifice of the coming Savior who would offer himself for all sinners. Now with that understood, we can go back to Psalm 69 and understand why David can be absolutely certain of God's mercy, even though he's currently being disciplined by God. You see, David knows that his sins are forgiven because of the Savior God promised to send into the world. Therefore, David does not see God's discipline as punishment for his sin. Instead, David sees God's discipline as the loving action of a father who wants to help his children turn from sin and live according to his will. For example, listen to these words from Hebrews chapter 12. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So that's the first reason David was going through a hard time. He was being disciplined by God. And yet, even in the midst of that discipline, he was certain of God's love for him in Jesus. Having said that, we're now ready to hear about the second reason that David was going through a difficult time when he wrote Psalm 69. Simply put, there were many unbelievers in David's kingdom who were making life miserable for him. They hated God, and so they hated God's chosen king. And these unbelievers caused David no end of trouble. You see, even though David was a sinner, he was a repentant sinner. David didn't excuse his sin. He certainly didn't affirm his sin. Instead, David confessed his sin in the temple and then trusted in God's mercy, made possible by the sacrifices offered in that temple, which pointed ahead to the Savior whose one sacrifice would cover the sin of all people. However, the unbelievers in David's kingdom had no respect for David's pious example. You see, they did not want God's mercy because they had no intention of repenting of their sin. They wanted to live as they pleased, and they did not appreciate David's godly example. So they wanted a different king. And that's what they did. They did all they could to get rid of David. They made his life miserable. Well, now that you understand the circumstances behind the writing of Psalm 69, we're ready to take a closer look at this psalm and see how it points us to Jesus. But where should I begin? You see, I could preach several sermons on this psalm because there are several verses from this psalm that are quoted or at least alluded to in the New Testament. For example, first half of Psalm 69, verse 9 reads, "Zeal for your house consumes me." Now, if you recall our gospel reading, the apostles of Jesus remembered that this very text of Scripture was fulfilled when Jesus cleared the temple. In other words, the apostles believed that David was not only speaking of himself in Psalm 69, instead, those words of King David also pointed ahead to the Savior who would be descended from David's own family line. Now, if King David was zealous for the proper use of God's temple, how much more would God's own son be zealous for the proper use of his father's temple? Now, there's a whole lot more I could say about that, but I'm not going to preach on that particular verse today. In addition, One other section of Psalm 69 that is worthy of a sermon are these words from Psalm 69 verse 21, which read, "They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst." Now these words describe the mocking hatred of David's enemies. But even more, they describe the hatred that sinners have for Jesus. The Apostle John alludes to these words of Psalm 69 in the second part of our gospel reading, where he writes these words, "Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.' A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of a hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips." Now, did you hear that? Even while Jesus was dying on the cross for his enemies, they showed their hatred for him by giving him vinegar for his thirst. Can you imagine working outside on a hot, dry day, and you're absolutely parched, and someone gives you vinegar to drink? Thus, Psalm 69 verse 21 was fulfilled by Jesus' own innocent suffering on the cross for his enemies. And by the way, did you notice the detail that John mentioned? He said that they used a hyssop plant to give Jesus the sponge filled with wine vinegar. Isn't that ironic? The same plant used to sprinkle people with the sacrificial blood. This same plant was used to give vinegar to the one who was shedding his blood for the very people that were mocking him. But sadly, when the devil blinds us to the truth, we fail to see what is right in front of our eyes. Now, I could say a whole lot more about that text, but I'm not going to preach on that part of the psalm either. So you might be wondering, what part of the psalm are you going to preach on then? Well, I want to focus on the second half of Psalm 69, verse 9, which reads, "The insults of those who insult you fall on me." Now, what is David saying here? David is showing us that those who hate God and despise his word, they will also hate those who love God and trust his word. In our reading from Romans chapter 15, the Apostle Paul quotes these words from Psalm 69, and then he applies them to Jesus. Paul writes, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me.'" Now, what is Paul trying to teach us? Simply put, we Christians should strive to be like our Lord and Savior. Jesus didn't please himself. Instead, Jesus willingly suffered insults in order to be faithful to his Father. Jesus willingly suffered insults in order to save the very people who were insulting him. Now, Paul makes a practical application with this. He says, therefore, strong Christians, that is, Christians who are spiritually mature, they should do all they can to help weak Christians, that is, Christians who are new to the faith and need support and guidance. You see, sometimes strong Christians are tempted to think like this. We think, you know, as long as we know the truth, and as long as we know that we're saved, that's all that matters. If others don't know what we know, or if others are not as mature as we are, well then that's their problem. My friends, this is a selfish, sinful attitude. Therefore, Paul writes these words, "For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me." Now, if those words were true for David, they are even more true for Jesus. Think of it. Those who hated God and his ways also hated Jesus and his ways, because Jesus and the Father are one. Nevertheless, Jesus went to the cross for his enemies. Even while he was on the cross, his enemies were insulting him and mocking him. But in spite of their hatred for him, do you remember what Jesus prayed from the cross? He prayed, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." Simply put, Jesus did not please himself. Instead, he denied himself and served others. That is, he served us. You see, we need to remember that the enemies of God were not only those who were standing before the cross and mocking him. We are also God's enemies by nature. In fact, we insult Jesus and we mock him every time that we sin. Yet Jesus did not turn his back on us. Instead, Jesus laid his back on the cross and suffered for our sins so that we might be forgiven and live in God's love forever. Therefore, as people whose sins have been forgiven through Jesus' humble sacrifice, we should strive to be like him. As Paul said, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." Paul goes on to write, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Simply put, those who wrote the Old Testament Scriptures, King David and all the other prophets, they wrote them and were moved to do this in order to serve us so that we could have encouragement and hope in Jesus. In fact, I would like you to listen to these words from 1 Peter chapter 1. Listen carefully. "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you." Did you hear that? If we are strong in the faith, if we are mature Christians, knowing that our sins are forgiven and knowing that we have the hope of eternal life, then we are such Christians only by the grace of God, who work through others to serve us. In fact, King David served us when the Spirit moved him to write Psalm 69, a psalm of the Savior. Psalm 69 is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus, who never sinned and yet willingly suffered for his enemies in order to save them. In fact, what David could never, ever do, Jesus did. Jesus died for his enemies, and he prayed for those who persecuted him. Because of Jesus, we are saved from damnation, and we have eternal hope in God's love. Now, I would like to add this one last thing. As we strive to live for Jesus in our society, just as King David was faithful to God in his day, as we do this, like King David, we may be persecuted by those who hate God and despise his word. But as we strive to live for Christ in a world that progressively does not want to hear his word, as we strive to be faithful in a culture that doesn't want to submit to the ways of God, we may find that these words of David will be true for us. The insults of those who insult you fall on me. However, in the midst of the challenges and difficulties that we face as we strive to be faithful for Jesus in our culture, we must remember that Jesus was willing to endure the insults of our many sins because He loves us and He will never leave us or forsake us. Like King David, your many sins are forgiven. Like King David, you are absolutely secure in God's loving hands. Because of Jesus, we can pray these words of King David every day. We can pray these words, I am in pain and distress. May your salvation, O God, protect me. That's right. Psalm 69 points us to Jesus, who is our salvation and who will protect us with His mighty hands. His mighty hands that He allowed to be nailed to the cross for us. So then, when the insults of those who insult Jesus fall on you, you can remember that you have an eternal hope in Him that can never, ever be taken away. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.